margin. And it is consumers and refiners that are erasing this glut of gasoline.
The cheapest price was in St. Louis, where a gallon of regular averaged $2.76. The highest was in Honolulu at $3.35. Meanwhile, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is threatening to wage economic war with the United States. Chavez says he will cut off oil sales to the U.S. if ExxonMobil Corporation wins court judgments to seize billions of dollars in Venezuelan assets. ExxonMobil has gone after the assets of the Venezuelan state oil company in U.S., British, and Dutch courts as it challenges the nationalization of an oil project. This is SRN News.
News Talk 1170, KCBQ, San Diego.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder why conservative Christians just don't get it. Have they learned nothing over the years? You're thinking to yourself when you meet these Christians, it's the economy, stupid. Okay, now let me put this as clearly and as bluntly as I can. The most important issue right now is not the economy. I'll go you one up. The important issue right now isn't even the war. Don't get me wrong. I am concerned about the economy. And I believe we do need to wake up against the enormous threat of Islamo-Nazi terrorism in all of its fronts. I supported the war in Iraq, and I still do. Please note, I did not say these topics aren't important. They are, and they should be brought up in every single debate. But there's a topic that is not being discussed either by the Republicans or the Democrats. It should be mentioned at every open forum. Every single candidate should be put on the spot and forced to tell us just exactly how they feel about this greatest menace facing America. And that menace is the systematic and certain eroding of our First Amendment rights. Free speech will not be around much longer. A bill attempting to bring back the Fairness Doctrine has as its agenda the death of conservative talk radio. Parallel developments are found in bills about hate speech, with a goal to make it illegal to speak against homosexuality. They will pass if Democrats hold on to the Congress and gain the White House. Frankly, even Republicans in Congress are doing little, if nothing, to stop those bills right now. Such a law already exists in California for any public official employed by the state, teachers, policemen, firemen. This monstrous assault upon our free speech was signed into law by Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Let's think for a moment. If freedom of speech is regulated by our government, nothing else really matters anymore. The economy can get better, but do you want to flourish in a country that is no longer America? Oh, sure, you can still drive to the mall, you could still buy that home entertainment center, but the government will be deciding what you are allowed to watch on it. And you can also buy a new car, but the government will decide which model and what kind of exhaust can come out of your car and whether or not it can be an SUV. And they will also decide what your opinion on global warming must be. After all, the debate is over. A Nobel Prize-winning idiot told us so. And yes, I am glad McCain would be a good commander-in-chief, and I think he would be a good commander-in-chief through any formally declared war against terrorist harboring countries. But since American Muslim organizations like CARE have figured out how to use our own stupid phrases like hate speech to insist that Islam never be criticized, even though they defend a scripture that forbids them to befriend Christians and makes the most anti-Semitic comments you can possibly imagine, a very part of the war of ideas, the art of brainwashing the masses, will be lost in the United States, as it has already been lost in Europe. Did you know that in England, not long after 9/11, and this is going back a few years, you can just imagine what it's like today. This is going back a few years, not long after 9/11, in England, a British citizen was arrested for offending his Muslim neighbor. What was the offense? He said he believed Muslims were responsible for 9/11. Gee, where, oh, where would he have gotten an idea like that? He was arrested for, you guessed it, hate speech. The idea that one could get arrested for any kind of speech is supposed to smack against all of our sensibilities. It's supposed to insult the very fabric of our nation. It's coming here as well, folks. Trust me, it is. It may be too late. We may be on a road without any turns, but let's at least go down swinging. Why aren't we talking about it? Why is this conspicuously absent from every presidential debate, be it the Democrat debate, be it the Republican debate? I don't know that the Republicans will really do anything about this. I do know the Democrats will do something about it. They will advance the problem. They will create a nightmare. Yes, a nightmare. Only they won't call it a nightmare. They'll call it a dream. Speaking of dream candidates, our youth are showing up at the voting booths in record numbers for Obama. They resonate with Obama. The man speaks to them. He speaks with charisma. He also talks about change. Yes, that's right. He has the courage to say our country needs change. This is fantastic, amazing, incredible stuff. Never before in the annals of our nation has a candidate promised change. History is taking place before our very eyes, and our young people are eating it up with a spoon. In fact, they are actually turning their parents on to Obama. Even Caroline Kennedy shares a moving story about how her own daughter tipped her off by saying, "Mom, you need to listen to this guy." Supposedly, the right thing to say is that we are grateful to see college-age people and other young adults taking an interest in the election. Well, allow me to be a dissenter at this point. Please understand, in less stupid times, I would also join the chorus and glory in the involvement of our youth. But there's a problem, and it's a significant one. Although Obama speaks with charisma, he doesn't actually say anything. And there's another problem. The late teens, early 20s generation is subconsciously showing us what the real problem is here, namely that youth have a desire and need to be influenced. They want role models. They want heroes. If real heroes don't come their way, they will turn to the fake. How sad that their own parents are unable to fill that void. How scary that they can't tell their kids about the nature of politics and hollow promises. True, their children's professors are able to explain the world, but they explain it in a Marxist, politically correct, Bush-bashing, America-hating way. These professors are, for the most part, my fellow baby boomers who never got over the 60s and cannot tell the difference between a confusing war, Vietnam, and a war in which our enemies, the Islamofascists, could not possibly be more abundantly clear. They want to kill us. They simply want to kill us. That's it. And while they want to kill us, Obama wants to sit down and talk with them. This from the man who says he wants change in Washington. Is that really a change from the position of his fellow Democrats? They're a good sizable part of Washington right now. And where is the refreshing change in his other positions on gay rights legislations, pro-choice agendas, and mandatory redistribution of wealth? There is absolutely, positively nothing new or different about this guy. Yes, he speaks with charisma, but politicians have been doing this for years. Nobody had more charisma than Hitler. The man had almost a hypnotic effect upon people. Now, before somebody quotes me out of context, no, I am not comparing Obama to Hitler. I better say that again. No, I am not comparing Obama to Hitler. Let me tell you what I am doing. I am comparing the appeal of charisma as an end in itself to Hitler. I am lamenting a phenomenon that is fueled by sheep who think with their feelings and not with their brains. Quick tangential sidebar here, but an important sidebar. Although Obama cannot be compared to Hitler, Louis Farrakhan is a man who can be compared with Hitler. His speeches about the Jews are almost identical. Now, how does this relate to Obama? Obama attends a church in which his own pastor gave Farrakhan the Man of the Year award. Obama has not condemned the words of his own pastor, even though he has been given opportunity to, and Obama has some explaining to do. But frankly, nobody will care. Nobody will care, not even liberal Jews who of all people should be raising their eyebrows. Why will they not care either? Because Obama has charisma, and he asks for change. But don't you change that channel. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls. Tenement halls whispered the sounds of silence.
Admit it, to be successful these days, you need a website. And if you don't have one, you'll be like my friend Arnold, who finally switched from a manual to an electric typewriter when everyone else already had a personal computer. And the day I tried to talk him into a website, just listen in.
Forget it. Too expensive.
Then how are you going to market your company? People need information.
There's still a device called a telephone.
Telephone? You're talking like Fred Flintstone. How are they going to see your logo, your graphics and pictures, your store?
There's a lovely brochure that we send out.
Have you any idea how much money you spend every year to print these brochures?
Yeah, right. How about the cost of having a website hosted? Not to mention the time, the complicated software, the hiring of a designer.
All of those difficulties are removed when you use Web Studio.
That name sounds familiar.
Web Studio is a website design software. It enables you to create your own pages in minutes without hiring a designer. All you do is use your mouse to drag and drop images and text. Then it saves the pages for you on the internet. The program includes 14 design galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and anything else you need.
I didn't know it could be so easy and quick. Maybe it is time for me to step into the 20th century.
Arnold, it's the 21st century. For information on Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. I would like to welcome a new occasional sponsor, just an occasional sponsor today, Cool Master Automotive. I've told you before, I drive a six-cylinder 1999 Chevy Metro with over 200,000 miles on it. One of the reasons it still runs is because, frankly, the Metro is a great car. That's probably why they stopped making them. The other reason I still drive it, I discovered that rarity of rarities, an honest mechanic. Go figure, somebody I can actually trust with my car and somebody I can trust with my pocketbook, because unfortunately the pocketbook is affected by auto repair. It's like a money pit at times. Now, we've all been in that situation where you take the car into guys you don't know and they mention problems you never even heard of in science fiction, let alone automobile engines. Yeah, it looks like you need a new modulator. I'd recommend the Illudium Q36. Now, if you don't want to hear all that, do yourself the biggest favor you can. Take your car to Cool Master Automotive in Santee, and don't let the name fool you. Sure, they do a quality job on radiators and air conditioning, but they are also a complete automotive repair service. The owner, Lynn Gassard, has been working on my car for years. I take it to him and only him because he's honest and because he knows what he's doing. Those are two uncommon virtues. Cool Master Automotive. Tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask for 10% off. They'll look at you like you're out of your mind. They'll tell you they don't care if Bob Siegel sent you or anyone else. And they will not, in fact, give you the 10% off. But tell them that anyway, because Lynn is a friend of mine and it's fun to mess with his head. Honestly, these guys are so good and so skilled and so thorough. They'll save you all the money you would have paid the dishonest guy who did all the double talk. It will be better than 10% off. Folks, I'm telling you, Cool Master Automotive in Santee. Call 619-562-9927. That's 562-9927. Cool Master. All right, time to switch gears. No pun intended, because I have an important prayer request. Over a year ago on my show, we celebrated a miracle. My good friend Greg Grayson had been diagnosed with a cancerous tumor in his brain. After visiting the Be In Health Healing Ministry in Thomaston, Georgia, Greg returned home to find that the doctors were no longer calling the tumor cancerous, but benign. Nevertheless, they removed it because you don't want a tumor in your head, whether it's cancerous or benign. And we all rejoiced with Greg. Again, this happened over a year ago. Only recently, I spoke with Greg and his family. I'm sorry to say that the tumor has returned and expanded to the point where it is inoperable. That's the final word of the doctors. Greg, however, is in great spirits, and he believes God will heal him again, as he did before. Many of you don't know me at all in person, but you listen to my show and read my town hall blog regularly. Still others may be listening today for the very first time. Whoever you are, I invite you to pray with us. Greg has a wife and daughter who would love to see him around for many years to come. God healed him before, and God can heal him again. Thank you ahead of time for praying for my good friend Greg. He is a wonderful person, and your prayers will not be in vain. And I know it's not too orthodox to do this over the air, but I don't do this often. If you would join with me in prayer, if you want to. God and Father, your servant and your child, Greg Grayson, needs your healing touch desperately. We thank you so much for what you did a year ago. Thank you for extending Greg's life for over a year. Thank you for the extra time you gave him with his wife and with his daughter and with his friends. We pray that you will do it again, Father. Reach down and may your Holy Spirit permeate every fiber of Greg's being. Please, Father, just command that tumor to leave and give Greg many more years in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our call-in toll-free number is 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. We also take email questions, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Our first email is from Diane in San Diego regarding last week's program with Frank Tipler, a professor and author of the book, The Physics of Christianity. Diane says, and Diane's a wife, that'll help you understand this. She says, yay, football season is over. Great show last week. I suppose she's letting me know that unlike so many others, she gave up the Super Bowl to listen to my humble little radio program. Thanks, Diane. As for the rest of you, if you missed that program, Dr. Tipler is one of the most interesting guests I have ever had. He was defending through physics, the resurrection, the virgin birth, God being removed from time. So if you want to atone for the sin of watching the Super Bowl at the expense of missing your old pal Bob, you can still catch that program off of my website. It's posted right on the very first page, bobsiegel.net. My next email comment is from Christopher about the prayer request I just made a moment ago. On behalf of Greg Grayson, Christopher sends me a couple of scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 12:9, the quotation of 2 Corinthians 12:9 of the Apostle Paul talking. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In the context of that scripture, I think the point that Christopher is trying to make is Paul had asked God three times for healing from some physical defect, and God said, I'm not going to heal you. That was an exception to the rule. The rule in the Bible was that people were healed. There were exceptions to the rule, and this certainly is one of them. And then Christopher also quotes Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Christopher then adds to the scriptures, my prayers will be for in accordance to God's will, and your prayer should be just the same, that not my will, but thine be done. God bless. Christopher. Well, that was nice of you, Christopher, to say God bless. Sounded like I was given a little admonition at the same time, though. So thank you, Christopher, for that gentle and loving little admonition. I will respond to your comments. Since you felt so free to offer your advice, I'm going to feel free to offer a response. I am aware that God's will shall be done, whatever his will is and whatever we pray. At the same time, Christopher, the Bible invites us to pray for healing. We do so with the understanding that God's will shall be done, just as we understand that for anything else we ask God. What you just said about God's will in relationship to healing, I could say about any prayer at all. So should we stop all prayer requests and just pray for God's will instead? Should we stop requests for relationship problems, requests for financial challenges, requests that people get saved? Should we stop all this because God's will is going to be done? Did Paul himself act that way? Did not Paul himself ask God for healing? Yes, he accepted God's answer, But he didn't mind asking the question. God did not tell Paul that it was inappropriate for him to pray for healing. He was merely giving Paul his answer. I'm not into that name it, claim it stuff, Christopher, and I see that you are not either, but we are still invited to bring our petitions to God in prayer. My petition is for healing. If God chooses to bring Greg home, it will not destroy my faith. I do appreciate your comments because I know they were well-intentioned. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Hey, this is Lori K. Lewis, a frequent co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, Talk Radio 1170 on KCBQ. Now, if you have questions or comments during this radio broadcast, please call Bob at this toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. America is listening.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. Before we went to the break, I asked for prayer on behalf of my friend Greg Grayson, who has a cancerous tumor. God healed him of it before. We're asking for healing again. I got a letter from a fellow named Christopher, and I know it was well-intentioned. I know that he meant well, but what Christopher was saying, and he was saying it sincerely, is that we should basically just be praying that God's will be done and not asking for healing. I think that's a reaction, an understandable reaction, but an overreaction to the name it, claim it stuff, the people that say God will always heal. And God will not always heal. God does what he chooses to do. But the Bible does say that as a general rule, God would prefer to heal. The exceptions to the rule are in the Bible, but I don't like to dwell on the exceptions. I like to dwell on the rule. So we have another response here from Eric J. He's also writing about Greg. Not quite as preachy as the last one. Eric J. says, I am determined to pray diligently for your dear friend Greg. May the Holy Spirit touch Greg, his doctors, nurses, and any who take care of him. I pray also that the Holy Spirit comfort those who are concerned for Greg, including myself. Most of all, I will pray for the revealing of God's will and for the Lord's power not only to heal, but to bring all closer to him in this time of great need. Blessings, Eric J. Well, I appreciate that, Eric. We've been taking some email questions, and we also welcome your phone comments. Our call-in toll-free phone number is 1-888-344-1170, 1-888-344-1170. And Brian, let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. We have Jim in Claremont. Jim, welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Thanks, Bob. How are you doing today?
Good, Jim. What's up?
Good. Hey, in lieu of your opening statement, when you were talking about the fairness doctrine, those god-awful things that, you know, we're going to have to be dealing with whether we like it or not.
That is correct.
Anyway, they are scary because, I mean, you don't hear enough about them in the written media or the news media on TV or anything. It's unfortunate that, you know, it doesn't get talked about nearly enough.
You're absolutely right, and it's not being brought up at any of the debates. I don't recall it being brought up at any Democratic or Republican debate.
Exactly.
Talk radio shows hosts have talked about it, but frankly, even Medved and Prager and Hewitt are not talking about that nearly as much. They're warning us that we don't want Hillary, but they're not going out of their way to spell it out, Jim, and it's not just that.
Yeah. Actually, Bob, I don't mean to cut you off real quick. That leads me to a question
I have.
You
bet.
Actually,
absolutely.
I finally heard something that Michael Medved, the conservative talk show host, mentioned the other day.
Yeah, what was that?
He did actually. He brought that up, and it was in specific reference to Senator McCain, who, you know, like it or not, looks like the inevitable candidate for the Republicans. But he had said, because, you know, now he's coming out in defense of McCain.
And McCain was one of the few people who's tried to stop the Fairness Doctrine.
He brought
true.
That up, and I was surprised because I hadn't heard that before. That it's, I mean, he, you know, Medved's good at facts and recalling specific events, and it was like he was swearing up and down that Medved seemed to show a good defense for trying to shoot this Fairness Doctrine down. I was wondering if you know more about.
Well, yeah. McCain did try to introduce a bill that would make the Fairness Doctrine illegal. I think we already have a bill like that. It's called the Constitution. But the problem is McCain's so hit and miss. McCain-Feingold, on the other hand, made it illegal to give X amount of dollars to certain campaigns which related to free speech because commercials can be made with that money. So McCain's a mixed bag. There's things I love about the guy. There's things I hate about the guy. You just don't know what you'll get. Now, you could credit him for being independent.
Yeah, I know.
But me going to bed knowing McCain's independent is not going to make me feel a whole lot better. But yeah, he did good on the Fairness Doctrine, and yet he's put down talk radio in other contexts. He said a lot of negative things about talk radio because talk radio basically shut down his McCain-Kennedy bill.
What about, but just not to belabor the point, but again, because I'm aware of those things too, and I kind of agree with you pretty much, but specifically in terms of this Fairness Doctrine legislation, whatever specific forms it's rearing its ugly head right now, who did he stand with? Did he shoot down the legislation? Did he sign some countermeasure?
No, it was my understanding of it is that it was an unsuccessful attempt. And what Medved was doing, and I love Michael Medved. Medved was trying to, he's been defending McCain when most other talk show hosts have been against him trying to push Romney.
Right.
And Medved was trying to say, look, he was shot down, but by trying, he's showing us that he's more conservative than some of you guys are giving us credit for.
Right.
So yes, it's a positive statement about McCain. No, it's not good news for the Fairness Doctrine, because if we get a Democratic House and Senate and presidency, plus you look at some of the judges they'll appoint during those years, it could be really dangerous. And then, of course, Jim, the parallel bill that's going through is a bill about hate speech legislation. They used to just call it hate crime legislation. It was always about hate speech, where if you commit a crime with a certain kind of motive, we're going to now start making laws against your motives. The government's trying to read our mind. This is what George Orwell called thought police in his novel 1984. So whether the hate speech one succeeds or whether the Fairness Doctrine succeeds, Fairness Doctrine is geared at talk radio. Hate speech is against any citizens. And the hate speech one has already passed in Canada. In Canada, it's against the law to speak against homosexuality. And in California, it's against the law for a public official to speak against homosexuality.
So in what way does that mean? Like, let's start with Canada real quick. I know you got to get on to other
stuff. No problem. No problem.
As far as the Canada thing, does that mean that any everyday private citizen, if he opens his mouth in any public forum and speaks with negative comments towards somebody of a certain race, gender, or sexual orientation? What does that mean?
Well, the way the law is written, yes, race, gender, any kind of hate speech. The reason these laws are written is that the militant gay activists are pushing it. So where it would be enforced primarily is for gays, but it sometimes gets enforced in other places. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because I'm going to do this in a monologue later, but I don't mind saying it right now. In England, there was a person that got arrested for actually saying to his Muslim neighbor that the Muslims were responsible for 9/11.
Is that some comment he made to the neighbor?
Offhanded comment he made to the neighbor, and this was a number of years ago. So,
I was really surprised to hear. The neighbor went to the local officials or something, or the police?
Yeah, the Muslim. And the Muslims here in America, CARE has figured out how stupid we are with our rules about hate speech, and they're using it to their advantage. So they're claiming now that anytime we say anything against Muslims, it's hateful, and yet the Muslims have this book, this holy scripture, which commands them to not befriend Jews or Christians, says the most anti-Semitic things you'd ever believe, and that's not hate speech?
Yeah, there's a lot of things coming up right now I'd like to tangent on, but that would be one of them to come. But now, let me just say, though, right now, in America or California specifically, you were saying that if a public official had made any kind of public statement, or a school teacher,
in that case, they'd have to do it in a public capacity. If a policeman as a policeman or a fireman as a fireman, and specifically a public school teacher, they can't say anything demeaning about homosexuality in the privacy of their own homes or in a bar, they could. But I believe that will change someday as well.
Real quick, what about, sorry, keep asking stuff. What about SB 777? Is that the code for the California educational measure?
I don't follow the codes as much as I follow the laws, but
right,
I believe the law you're referring to is the one which says that they no longer want to get up in the classroom and use the word father and mother because it's offensive to other kinds of families. And now if a student goes into a school, like say there's some adolescent junior high are going through puberty that wants to go into the girls' locker room and watch girls get undressed, he could declare that he's really a woman, and the school can do nothing
about it.
And Schwarzenegger signed that. Now, it's being stymied because people are challenging it, and I think it's going to go to the courts, but Schwarzenegger actually did sign that. That's our conservative Republican governor.
Face. You know, when, I mean, I remember 4 years ago when a lot of us considered him the only sensible alternative to Bustamante, because when Gray Davis was out, you know, but now look where he's gone. You know, it's like, you know, you didn't think he was a hardcore conservative on every principle.
Well, he always claimed that he was more of a fiscal conservative than a socialist conservative, and boy, was he right. He was probably still the lesser of two evils, but what he's doing is still evil. It may be the lesser of two evils, but it's evil.
But anyway, well, one last thing is just obviously that one thing in terms of specifically McCain's position with the Fairness Doctrine, but you know, when I think in general, too, where we're at now with the election, I mean, basically what we're down to, it really, is it looks like I have a feeling Obama's going to overtake Hillary, so it may be between Obama and McCain. And we should all be a little fearful of...
I'll tell you why we should be fearful, too, because Obama will pull a Bill Clinton. This is what Clinton did when he ran against Dole, and this is what Clinton did when he ran against Bush Sr., particularly with the military and their age. They were looking at these guys and saying, oh, we respect them. Mm-hmm. They are the people of the past. We are the bridge of the future. Remember in that famous debate between Bush and Clinton, it was, I honor your military service.
Yeah.
I really do, but we live in times where there's new options, and the audience just cheered. And
right.
Clinton was a better debater than Bush, but he wasn't as good of a president as Bush.
I think you're right on that. I think basically he's done a terrific job of fooling the wool, pulling the wool over our eyes, because when you think about it, if you were to read his words on paper, he's not saying anything substantive. Where are his positions, whether you like him or not, or McCain or not, at least you have a lot more to deal with in terms of McCain when you can evaluate whether you like him or not. You know, there's a track record. You can see his positions somewhat.
Yeah.
But
the only positions we know about Obama are the standard liberal Democratic positions.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Bob, it's good chatting a little bit about this stuff. I appreciate it.
It was good chatting with you, Jim.
I think it's great if you could just continue, obviously, to keep us informed as far as...
I will continue talking about this every week or until they pull me off the air because of the Fairness Doctrine, whichever comes first.
Well, we pray that doesn't happen.
I hope not. Thank you, Jim, for calling in. Thanks for listening.
Have a good day.
Okay, take care. You are listening to The Bob Siegel Show, 1-888-344-1170. Now, I have a letter here from a grandmother who's writing on behalf of her grandchild, needs prayer and needs blood donations. The little boy is Joey, and I'm going to tell you about Joey when we return, and then we will continue with the political news of the week.
How many times have you heard the phrase, they're all the same, applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, when people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt. For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that The Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I was mentioning to Jim, our last caller, that he was getting ahead of me because I was going to, in a monologue coming up, share this story about how somebody was arrested in England for speaking against 9/11. That was actually in a monologue I had already given, but please be merciful on me. I've done blogs and monologues out the gazoo, and I've been doing that same subject over and over, and I am going to hit on that same subject later, which is what I was thinking about. But I've been doing so many of them, I can hardly keep straight which one I've done and which one I haven't done. But that's only because I'm doing so many. And frankly, I don't think I or the collectiveness of every talk show host in America could be talking about this stuff enough. But we've also been talking about healing today. Thank you for joining me earlier and praying for my friend Greg Grayson. And on the subject of healing, we have a little four-year-old boy named Joey who lives in San Diego. His grandmother wrote me. Joey needs prayer, and Joey also needs blood donors. Now, I'm going to read to you the words of his grandmother just as she wrote it to me by email. She says, Joey's condition is called aplastic anemia. I know that there's less threatening forms of anemia. This is a deadly kind. She says he's been getting regular transfusions of blood and platelets. Essentially, his bone marrow is not working at reproducing all of his various blood cells. This is why he needs platelet transfusions about every week to 10 days. If he doesn't, he looks like he has been beaten up. He also needs blood transfusions. He just got out of Kaiser Zion Hospital, where they put a port in his little body to manage the many transfusions he keeps getting. Joey's grandmother continues, now he doesn't have to get his transfusions in his arms and legs anymore. However, the more transfusions that he has, the more complications he will tend to balance for fear that he may get hurt and bleed dangerously. Also, because his white blood cell count is dangerously low, he is not fighting disease and so has to stay isolated and away from school, nurseries, public places, McDonald's because of commonly used toys. This little guy just turned 4 on October 1 and is so adorable and sweet. He loves to cuddle, play cards, games, and read stories. His grandmother continues by saying about Joey, he hates it when we leave, because we have spent so much time with him. He really has no idea what is going on, but he loses his appetite when his cellularity drops and is growing but remains thin. He is type A positive. Okay, those were the words of Joey's grandmother. If you call our station or write to me by email, we will let you know the details of how you can donate blood to the little guy. At the station, you can reach us 1-888-344-1170. You don't have to go on the air if you don't want to. Just call in and say you'd like some information and tell us how we can contact you by email or whatever. Or you can simply email me, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Returning now to the news of the week. Just when you thought things couldn't get any stupider, in England, the government wants to give cash rewards to people who lose weight. Yes, you heard me correctly. Cash rewards for losing weight. If we'd have tried that here, I would have said pass the mashed potatoes years ago, and I would have said it at every meal. Now, where will this cash come from? Tax dollars, of course. After all, there is no money tree in Sherwood Forest. Robin Hood demonstrated that by stealing from the rich to redistribute wealth. Did you know Robin Hood was the first communist? And the spirit of Comrade Robin seems to be alive and well in merry old England. Well, not to be one-upped by our fun British cousins, American doctors want to tax fat people rather than rewarding thin people. I guess it's the same basic idea. How will this happen? By imposing a special sales tax on Coke and Pepsi. Other creative ideas for fat taxes come from the New York Times. Ideas such as chunky citizens checking in at government offices so that they can stand on the scales and Well, I just couldn't explain it as brilliantly as they do. Why anything said by the New York Times surprises me anymore, I'm sure I don't know. Neither can I tell you how grateful I am for Parallel Talk about public schools going through kids' lunches to decide what they are allowed to eat. Parents can't be responsible for that decision, not when they poison their children with Cheetos and Oreo cookies. You just can't trust those nasty parents anymore. Better to leave such a sacred mission with the state. Now, people, this is why I was opposed to all the anti-smoking regulations. Mind you, I have no love for cigarette smoke. I have never smoked. I've never liked it. I think it's a filthy and disgusting habit. But the problem I had with the cigarette smoke legislation is I never believed for a second that it would be limited to cigarettes. People think in extremes. That's part of our joint human heritage. And once Pandora's box is open, the food police, following on the heels of today's PC thought police, want to tell us what we can eat and what we can drink. If tobacco is bad for us, what about caffeine? What about chocolate? Don't even mention sour Skittles. Once there was even a lawsuit against McDonald's in an attempt to force them to sell veggie burgers. Remember that one? McDonald's didn't want to sell veggie burgers because, for the most part, nobody eats those disgusting things. George Burns said it perfectly once when they asked for the secret to his health. They asked him if he had a healthy diet. He said, no, he doesn't. He says eating that healthy stuff doesn't actually help you live longer. It will just make life seem longer. McDonald's escaped the crossfire, but I was concerned at that time that such a discussion would even take place at all, because after all, we live in the land of the free. And now here we are in the 21st century, 2008. Let's regulate weight. I don't like it when I'm overweight, and I work very hard to keep it off. I do, but that is my choice. Others might not care how their bodies look. And if they don't care, well, correct me if I'm mistaken, but aren't we supposed to be living in a pro-choice country which tells people it's your body and your choice? Oh, wait. I almost forgot. When you want to eat junk food, that's a major offense, and therefore your body is not your own. It belongs to the government. But should you want to do something harmless, like kill the baby in your womb, well, it's your body, and it's your choice. Did I say this was stupid? I apologize. This has become tragic and dangerous, but not as dangerous as what lies ahead in our future if we aren't really careful about the presidential election. Okay, some of you have been waiting to hear what I have to say about Mitt Romney's resignation, so let me say this right up front. Let me get it out of the way. Now that Romney is out, I will support whichever Republican gets the nomination, probably McCain, possibly Huckabee, possibly a McCain-Huckabee ticket. Yes, I will support them. To do otherwise is to be a fool. Don't be a fool. Don't think you have another 4 years to teach your Republican politicians a lesson about not being conservative enough. Yes, our party deserves to be taught a lesson. Does it ever? But we will not survive 4 years of Clinton-Obama. Between the Fairness Doctrine, hate speech legislation, a Democratic Congress, and Supreme Court justices old enough to retire and be replaced by a liberal president, America, as you've known it, will simply cease to exist. Talk radio and the blogosphere will be controlled by the liberals before we even get a chance to have another election. This means our ability to publicly promote someone we like better will be sabotaged, and conservatives who speak out might actually get thrown in jail. You think I'm exaggerating? Well, I don't blame you for feeling that way. I don't blame you at all. Take a tip. Wise up. Stop being so naive. Take your head out of the sand. Pay attention to what has been happening in Canada, Europe, and even our own state of California. All right, I got that off my chest. McCain or Huckabee would be so much better than the alternative. Literally, light years of difference. It is crazy to even discuss it. Having said that, I have no desire to sound like a two-faced hypocrite. Yes, I will support the Republican nominee because I have no choice but to support the Republican nominee. But I'm not going to change my tone so drastically that it comes across as a 180-degree turn. I am not going to suddenly pretend I like McCain and Huckabee because I have tremendous problems with each of them. These problems are spelled out in my blogs, bobsiegel.townhall.com, and I'm leaving the blogs up as an accurate and truthful record of everything I have written on Town Hall. You can look them up anytime you want. Look them up, even though obviously I would not consider it healthy for the Republican Party to keep dwelling on such matters in the future. But before I start my new series spotlighting the few issues, where I always have and always will agree with these two men, I do want to chastise McCain and Huckabee one more time because, frankly, they owe Mitt Romney an apology. What am I talking about? Simply this. Romney was not the only one who did negative campaigning. This is why Bush and Huckabee teamed up against him. He does negative campaigning. Well, yeah, there was plenty of negative campaigning to go around. He was not the only one who did it. And when the other two candidates whine about his negative speech, they protesteth too much. Anybody who runs in an election must point out the differences and inconsistencies in their opponents. Sometimes it's done with honesty. Other times it is disingenuous. Take Huckabee's question, quote unquote, about what Mormons believe. Now, you need to understand where I'm coming from. I myself am an evangelical Christian minister or ordained Baptist, just like Huckabee, who's ordained Baptist. I have studied theology and comparison religion for years. Mormons do indeed believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. What can I say? They just do. But critiquing that belief is not my purpose right now. My point is this. Since Mike Huckabee is a former Baptist pastor, I would really have to stretch my imagination to accept his explanation that he was only asking a question. But here's a question for you. How can you dare even think of touching that dial? We'll be right back. Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. We've been very pleased with the response we get to The Bob Siegel Show, but there is one reoccurring complaint. The Bob Siegel Show is not on every day, only once a week. Well, eventually we do hope to be on more often. In the meantime, if you really need that frequent fix, try a daily dose of the Bob Siegel blog, bobsiegel.townhall.com. A new article is written every single day, and the theme is the same as the radio show, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. In fact, once in a while I spout off about politics and pop culture, even when it isn't related to Christianity. Go figure. That's Bob Siegel. SIEGEL.townhall.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. We're talking about the comment that Huckabee had made about Romney, asking the questions about whether Mormons believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. I mentioned that they do. But Huckabee acted like he was just asking out of genuine, legitimate curiosity and sincere ignorance. Look, I'm convinced old Huck knew just exactly what he was doing, and I believe it was coldly calculated. He knows very well what Mormons believe, and he wanted to portray himself as the more legitimate candidate to potential evangelical voters who disagree with Mormonism. It may have been literally phrased as a question, but to call the question rhetorical is to make the understatement of the century. Come on, Huck. Just how stupid do you think we all are? We live in a free society. If you or anybody has a problem with Mormonism or a problem with a Mormon in the White House, you should be allowed to say so. But don't bring the matter up and then pretend it was never really an issue with you. It was a cheap shot, and everybody knows it. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. Just for the record, everybody, although Mormon theology does concern me, I do not believe it would have influenced Romney as a leader. And his record as governor proved that it never did. I believe Romney would have made an excellent president, and I'm sorry to see him go. Theologically, I have more in common with Huckabee. But when he talks about sitting down and listening to Ahmadinejad, he sounds like Ron Paul. I'll go you one better than that. He sounds like Barack Obama. I would say he sounds like Hillary, but she only talks that way depending on what day of the week it is or which way the wind is blowing. As for McCain, let's face facts, his own Cam McCaining left much to be desired. How about that shameless attempt to minimize Romney's leadership experience from the free business world by suggesting that under Romney, people were put out of work? They were put out of work, Senator? Oh my God, Senator, under anybody's business administration, people at times get put out of work. Just what were you trying to pull with that comment? Was it bumpkin for the masses whom you disrespect all the while asking for their votes at the same time? I'm still going to support these guys because we need to rise above all the claptrap and concentrate on the authentic nemesis. Romney did rise above it by being a good sport and stepping out of the way when he saw he couldn't win. This gives the party a head start in reunifying. It was a noble gesture. And now, Senator McCain, Governor Huckabee, why don't the two of you also make a gesture, a magnanimous gesture for unity? Here's a great idea for a first step that direction. Admit publicly that the negative campaigning was on both sides of the aisle. You won't be telling us anything we don't already know. It's just that we'll respect you more for saying it. Well, you can share your own comments by sending me an email, questions@bobsiegel.net. And regarding the monologue I just did about Romney, Jerry writes this, Mitt's religion is Christianity. Well, I wouldn't go that far, Jeannie. I can respect Mormons as good people. I can respect Mormons as political allies, but Mormonism is not Christianity. Mormonism does claim to be Christianity, I know. And they claim that sincerely. They're mistaken, though. However, Jeannie continues. She says, quite simply, religious bigotry is an acceptable weapon against those with whom we disagree on finer points of Christianity. Jeannie says Huckabee is a bigot. He is a small-minded former governor of a small southern state who brings nothing to the table but bigoted populism and scholarships for illegals. He rallied and manipulated other misinformed Republicans, and conservatives want this man as president. Get real. No, he was simply a tool employed to derail Romney's efforts to gain the nomination. I opine as a granddaughter of five generations of Baptist ministers. Well, Jeannie, I'm no Huckabee fan either. I think I like him a little better than you do. And I do think he would be a better choice than Hillary or Obama. Next email. This is from a guy named Jimbo. Jimbo says, I know it's a high price for us, but it is unavoidable. McCain will literally destroy the Republican Party for conservatives forever. Stopping him from doing that is more important than 4 years of Hillary or Obama. I cannot, capital letters, I cannot stand by and idly allow him to make the GOP Democratic Party light. Well, Jimbo, I understand what you're saying, and I sympathize with what you're saying, but Jimbo, think, please think about what you're saying, because while we purify the Republican Party, we get 4 years of a Democratic Congress with a Democratic president. This means Supreme Court justices appointed that will last over a generation. This means, once again, the fairness doctrine passed, translation, conservative talk radio removed from the air. This means hate speech legislation passed, translation. It will become against the law to speak against homosexuality, and it will be against the law to speak against militant Islam. Not to mention mandatory redistribution of income, the closing down of home schools and private schools so that our children can be indoctrinated by the state. Are you listening to the things Hillary's saying? Hillary's up there saying separate schools are unequal schools. What this means, because in other contexts she has admitted this, Hillary wants to close down private schools. Well, she specifically said home schools, but I believe private schools wouldn't be far behind. Now, why do people want to close down home schools? Here's what the liberals say. Well, they're not getting as quality of an education. Parents aren't quite as qualified to teach as teachers. Oh, really? That's interesting. Then why is it that in national test score averages, homeschool children kick the butts around the block of public school? Well, then when asked that publicly, they say, oh, well, sure. Homeschools are doing well academically, sure. But there's more to a school than academic. There's sensitivity training. There's tolerance. Code words for, you guessed it, same old skunk always underneath everything else, gay rights legislation. They want to come in and tell your kindergartners and your first graders that one out of four of them are gay. They want your children. They want to tell your children what to eat. They want to tell your children what to think. They want to tell your children that if mommy and daddy tell you otherwise, mommy and daddy are evil. I urge you to listen carefully to what our Democratic candidates and other liberals are saying. I don't like McCain either. Honestly, I don't. Do not punish McCain by putting Hillary or Obama into office, you gotta believe me, it's not worth it. Well, last week, I began reading part of an email from Charity in Lemon Grove, and I think I'm going to probably have to continue that next week, but I'll continue as much as I can now in the time I have. Charity asked questions, you may recall, about whether or not Satan had a free will. I said he did. That was a quick answer, but we want to do more of Charity's question. Now she continues. Okay, Satan caused Eve, ultimately man, to sin. Sin puts us under Satan's rule. Oh, Charity, I did it to you again. I did even less this week than I did last week. Promise, I'm on my honor. I had a lot of special prayers and special public service announcements today. You'll understand. You'll forgive me, won't you? You have to forgive me. You're Christian. You have to forgive me. But I won't forgive you if you don't join us next week. You are always welcome, all of you. Your questions are welcome, too.